1986. American actress, screenwriter, producer, pioneer of classic radio, one of the first women to create, write, produce, star, long-running hit, premiered her serial comedy drama, The Rise of the Goldbergs, 1929, known as The Goldbergs. Got a Tony there and an Emmy for that as well. What happened, though, later, one of the actors, I think the actor who played her husband, was accused of being a communist. 1950s, you know, sort of thing. And yep. Maybe even a bit earlier. And was told to fire him, and she wouldn't.
Oh.
And so the sponsor pulled out. And then they had some of the same problems, I think, with the TV as well. But it had a very good run, nonetheless. At 7 o'clock, I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol.
We are the Saturday Morning Show, here for you, or good morning again, up to you. We're here until 8 o'clock for you. This half hour, wake them, shake them. We'll have something for the children, absolutely. Take a look at Winnipeg Public Library events as well. And once again, we'll take a look at The Birth of a Label. The earliest recordings put out on the Capitol label. But Carol McKibben, any sign of the weather yet?
No, I just...
All right.
As you were talking, I checked, and not there yet.
Let's have a wait then as we remember Bob Weir, the Grateful Dead, who died at the age of 78, co-founder, rhythm guitarist, vocalist. They were called the Warlocks, originally. But they had to change their name to Grateful Dead after discovering there was another band with the same name.
Oh, dear.
Right. The other Warlocks would later change their name to The Velvet Underground.
Oh.
Truckin', got my chips cashed in. Keep truckin', like the doo-dah man. Together, more or less in line. Just keep truckin' home, home, home.
Arrows of neon and flashes my keys out on Main Street. Chicago, New York, Detroit, and it's all on the same street. Your typical city involved in a typical daydream. Hang it up and see what tomorrow brings.
Dallas, got a soft machine. Houston, too close to New Orleans. New York, got the ways and means. And just won't let you be.
The cats that you meet on the streets speak of true love. Most of the time they're sitting and crying at home. One of these days they know they gotta get going. Out of the door and down to the street all alone.
Chugging like the doo-dah man once told me you got to play your hand. Sometimes the cards ain't worth a dime if you don't lay them down. Sometimes the light's all shining on me. Other times I can barely see. Lately it occurs to me what a long, strange trip it's been.
You know she isn't the same. Living on reds, vitamin C and cocaine. All a friend can say is ain't it a shame.
Trucking up the Buffalo and thinking you got to mellow slow. It takes time to pick a place to go. Just keep trucking on, on, on.
Sitting and staring out of the hotel window. Got a tip, they're gonna kick the door in again. I'd like to get some sleep before I travel. But if you got a warrant, I guess you're gonna come in.
Busted down on Bourbon Street.
like a bowling pin. Knocked down, it gets to wearing thin. They just won't let you be. Sick of hanging around and you like to travel. Get tired of traveling, you want to settle down. I guess I can't revoke your soul for trying. Get out of the door, light out and look all around. Sometimes the light's all shining on me. Other times I can barely see. To me, what a long, strange trip it's been. Trucking, I'm going home. Whoa, whoa, baby, back where I belong. Back home, sit down and patch my bones and get back trucking. I'm home.
Grateful Dead, Truckin', from the CD.
What a long, strange trip it's been.
Skeletons from the Closet, the best of. So we're talking because of Bob, the death of Bob Weir, who I mentioned, he sang on that cut as well, and he wrote some of the songs too, but right from the start he was there. Band traveled and partied with author Ken Kesey and the Merry Pranksters, known for using psychedelic drug LSD, as depicted in Tom Wolfe's nonfiction book, The Electric Kool-Aid Acid Aid Acid Test. One of the constants of the Grateful Dead stage show was Weir's banter, calling intermissions, showing off his wry humor, issuing his familiar crowd instructions to take a step back, and then another. Yeah, good. By the time Garcia died in 1995, at the age of 53, Weir had evolved from the kid into a central figure, would keep the Dead's legacy and music alive. They then formed a group called Dead and Company, and then Weir also founded Wolf Brothers in 2018, a quartet survived by his wife, daughter Monet, and Chloe. That from the Winnipeg Free Press of past Tuesday, if you missed it. Bob Weir dead at the age of 78. 707, Carol McKibben.
Yes.
707. What about the weather?
Well, it's still cold out there, minus 24, with drifting snow.
I put my scarf on. That's how cold I feel in here.
And you know what? Usually this room, you're overheated in here. But I understand. So, barometric pressure, 103 and rising. I went to the University of Winnipeg weather site,
yes,
and it said rising rapidly. And sure enough, like we don't usually see it change like that through the show, but it's up to 103 now. Humidity 75%, wind coming from the north-northwest at 36, altogether giving you a wind chill of minus 38. So if you're going to go outside, don't go out for long, and take care of yourself and dress appropriately.
Button up your overcoat.
Yes. Oh, and I see there's a little message from our forecaster that I haven't read. Well, today, a mix of sun and cloud, 30% chance of flurries early this morning. That may have finished already. Wind coming from the northwest at 40, gusting to 60, and then from the west at 20 around noon. High, minus 18 today. Wind chill, minus 36 this morning, minus 29 this afternoon, and a risk of frostbite. Tonight, cloudy. Periods of snow starting this evening, probably around 5 centimeters. That's 2 inches. Wind coming from the south at 20. Temperature rising to minus 14 by morning. Wind chill, minus 29 this evening and minus 23 overnight. So it's getting better and better,
there
I
you
see,
are.
As you go
every
through
day
the day and into the
every
evening
way
and overnight.
We're getting better
still,
and better.
Though, risk of frostbite.
Yes.
Overnight.
Right, you are.
Yes. But it'll be slightly better, I believe, tomorrow.
All right.
When I say slightly.
7:07 is now 7:10.
Okay.
We've had 3 minutes since I last mentioned that to you.
Okay. Yes.
And we've had time to think about the weather, but don't let it put you off going.
Put on something warm.
To see Murder on the Orient Express.
Yes.
Reviewed in Today's Free Press by Holly Harris. She gave it 4 out of 5 stars. It runs to February the 7th. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, we're going, but not for another week or two.
So, highly favored then. Everyone loves a good whodunit, I'll say. Killer stage adaptation. The set. The costumes.
Well, overall, Brian Perchalak, eh?
Yeah, individual scenes. Most compelling. Each character. United Nations in a rail car, fleshed out. And in particular, I turn to the second page of the review, and I see another standout performance belongs to Donna Fletcher.
Oh.
Donna Fletcher's bold and brash American actress, Helen Hubbard, whose final impassioned petition of Poirot during the denouement poses real, salient questions about relativism and the nature of justice itself. I don't think that gives away too much. Particularly resonant during our own, quotes, unusual times. Favorable review then in Today's Winnipeg Free Press. We should say Donna Fletcher was good enough to come to our Mystery Book Club.
Yeah, and talk about it.
And talk about her work, getting ready for that role, and her. She's a fan of Agatha Christie as well.
Yeah.
And that is our first mystery in the Mystery Book Club in February.
Okay.
Sorry, no room at the inn. Might be a waiting
list.
I was
just going to ask. The class is
Please,
falling.
Sir, we want to
All
join.
Right.
No. I'm going to join the
Should
few. I'm sorry.
A couple of months ago.
There are too many of you to join the few. Yeah. We put a ceiling on it at 15, you see. Turning then to the birth of a label. That's Capitol Records through the 40s. This morning, I lost my sugar in Salt Lake City.
Yes.
Johnny Mercer with Freddie Slack and his orchestra. He didn't just perform his own songs, you see.
Okay.
All right. From what? 1942.
I lost my sugar in Salt Lake City. Oh, why did I go there? I should have stayed down in New Orleans and never gone nowhere. A man with sweet talk from Kansas City, his words were sweet like wine. He gave her diamonds and limousines and stole that gal of mine. When night comes creeping, for me there ain't no sleeping. What she sowed, she'll be reaping. For she done me wrong. I cried my heart out in Salt Lake City the day I heard the news. She left me deep in my solitude with the Salt Lake City blues. Salt Lake City is renowned for its beauty. The snow-capped Wasatch Mountains are nearby. In 1929, the factory output was $43 million. The wholesale trade proper amounted to $71,510,573. Retail trade, $92 million. There's salt beds and farmland producing principally alfalfa, grain, sugar beets, and vegetables in the vicinity. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't care if I ever set foot there again in Salt Lake City. That town is a nemesis to me. Man, I cried my heart out in Salt Lake City the day I heard the news. she left me deep in my solitude, widow's blue. Salt Lake City blue.
From The Birth of a Label, Capitol Records. And that was actually in a movie, that. Although the whole storyline made me think it was like Lot's wife. You turn back, the next thing you know, what happens, Carol?
Pillar of Salt.
Pillar of Salt.
Yep.
From the 20th century picture, Stormy Weather. So recorded in 1942. Went to 18 on the charts. At something like 7:15. That looks good to me. Back to the bookstore. We were talking about books.
Yes.
Got a song for you here from Ron Sexsmith. Just read the opening for you. Lead Belly's in the background, being drowned out by the grind. He's singing about Rock Island Line. Nobody seems to pay him any mind. That's wrong.
Sing about Rock Island Line. Nobody seems to pay him any mind. The bestsellers and bookshelves full of self-help printed word. Something elegant is heard. No words at Ellington or Bird. Has it really come to this? Can jazz at the bookstore and blues in the coffee shop. Jazz at the bookstore and blues in the coffee shop. Well, there's a man standing at the crossroad with the dark roast in his hand. He's living in white yuppie land, over by the milk and sugar stand. Have I really come for this? A cup of caffeinated bliss. So we browse around all over the town, sipping coffees that we can't pronounce. Meanwhile, in the blue cemetery, all the coffins commenced to bounce.
Bounce. Now, this is Rock Island Line. These boys is cutting with pole axes. A man cut right-handed, he stand opposite side of the other man. The other cut left-handed, he stand the other side. And boys gonna sing about that Rock Island Line, which is a mighty good road to ride. And in that road, the man gonna talk to the depot agent when he's coming out to cut with the Rock Island Line freight train, coming back from New Lane this way. That man blows his whistle down there different than the men blow whistles here. Cause he talks to the depot agent and tell him something. When that switchboard fall over that line, that means for that freight train to go in a hole. Man gonna talk to him. I got goats, I got sheep, I got hogs, I got cows, I got horses, I got all livestock, I got all livestock. Depot agent let him get by. When he get by, he got on. They gonna tell him he's going on now. I fooled you, I fooled you. I got iron, I got old pig iron. I got old pig iron. Oh, Rock Island Line. Oh, the Rock Island Line, the mighty good road. Oh, the Rock Island Line, the road to ride. Oh, the Rock Island Line, it's a mighty good road. If you want to ride, you got to ride like you finally get the ticket at the station on the Rock Island Line. Jesus died to save our sin. Oh, really, God, we're gonna meet him again. Oh, the Rock Island Line, it's a mighty good road. Oh, the Rock Island Line, the road to ride. Oh, the Rock Island Line, it's a mighty good road. If you want to ride, you gotta ride it like you finally get to see that station on the Rock Island Line. I may be right and I may be wrong, but you're gonna miss me when I'm gone. Oh, the Rock Island Line, it's a mighty good road. Oh, the rock on a line is a road to ride. Oh, the rock on a line, it's a mighty good road. If you want to ride, you gotta ride it like a body. Get your ticket at the station on the rock on a line. A, B, C, double X, Y, Z. Catch in the cover, but you don't see me. Oh, the rock on a line, it's a mighty good road. Oh, the rock on a line is a road to ride. Oh, the rock on a line, it's a mighty good road. If you want to ride, you got to ride it like a body. Get the ticket at the station on the rock on a line. Oh, the rock on a line, it's a mighty good road. Oh, the rock on a line is a road to ride. Oh, the rock on a line, it's a mighty good road. If you want to ride, you got to ride it like a body. Get the ticket at the station on the rock on a line.
The man himself then. Lead Belly with Rock on a Line before that. Ron Sexsmith at 7:20. Carol McKibben.
Yes.
We should wake them, shake them. Something for the children.
Yes. What are you doing?
Something to tell people who we are, where we are. Wake up.
Hello, Winnipeg. And I love you and I have wonderful memories of you.
Time for the Children's Corner on the Weekend Morning Show.
Well, boys and girls, I've got something for you here. This is from The Secret Diary of Adrian Mole, aged 13 and three quarters, by Sue Townsend. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
But it helps if you're a teenager when you read these things, I think.
Okay.
But you're past the age of, I'm not like that.
Right.
But I vaguely remember the horrors of that particular time.
All right. Well, you're freaking me out now.
Secret Diary of Adrian Mole and The Growing Pains. These were big, big, big sellers in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Then it went on stage. We'll talk about that after we give a listen to Stephen Mangan reading.
The Secret Diary of Adrian Mole, aged 13 and three quarters, by Sue Townsend. Read by Stephen Mangan. Thursday, January the 1st. Bank holiday. These are my New Year's resolutions. 1. I will help the blind across the road. 2. I will hang my trousers up. 3. I will put the sleeves back on my records. 4. I will not start smoking. 5. I will stop squeezing my spots. 6. I will be kind to the dog. 7. I will help the poor and ignorant. 8. After hearing the disgusting noises from downstairs last night, I've also vowed never to drink alcohol. My father got the dog drunk on cherry brandy at the party last night. If the RSPCA hear about it, he could get done. My mother still hasn't worn the green Lurex apron I bought her for Christmas. She'll get bath cubes next year. Just my luck. I've got a spot on my chin for the first day of the new year. Friday, January the 2nd. I felt rotten today. It's my mother's fault for singing My Way at 2 o'clock in the morning. Just my luck to have a mother like her. There's a chance my parents could be alcoholics. Next year I could be in a children's home. The dog got its own back on my father. It jumped up and knocked down his model ship, then ran into the garden with the rigging tangled in its feet. My father kept saying, 3 months' work down the drain, over and over again. The spot on my chin is getting bigger. It's my mother's fault for not knowing about vitamins. Saturday, January the 3rd. I shall go mad through lack of sleep. My father has banned the dog from the house, so it barked outside my window all night. Just my luck. I think the spot is a boil. Just my luck to have it where everybody can see it. I pointed out to my mother that I hadn't had any vitamin C today. She said, go and buy an orange then. This is typical. She still hasn't worn the Lurex apron. I'll be glad to get back to school. Sunday, January the 4th. My father has got the flu. I'm not surprised with the diet we get. My mother went out in the rain to get him a vitamin C drink, but as I told her, it's too late now. It's a miracle we don't get scurvy. My mother says she can't see anything on my chin, but this is guilt because of the diet. The dog has run off because my mother didn't close the gate. I've broken the arm on the stereo. Nobody knows yet, and with a bit of luck, my father will be ill for a long time. He's the only one who uses it apart from me. No sign of the apron. Monday, January the 5th. The dog hasn't come back yet. It's peaceful without it. My mother rang the police and gave a description of the dog. I really think the police have got better things to do than look for dogs, such as catching murderers. I told my mother this, but she still rang them. Serve her right if she was murdered because of the dog. My father is still lazing about in bed. He's supposed to be ill, but I noticed he's still smoking. Nigel came round today. He's got a tan from his Christmas holiday. I think Nigel will be ill soon from the shock of the cold in England. I think Nigel's parents were wrong to take him abroad. He hasn't got a single spot yet. Tuesday, January the 6th. Epiphany. The dog is in trouble. It knocked a meter reader off his bike. So now we will all end up in court, I expect. A policeman said we must keep the dog under control and asked how long it had been lame. My mother said it wasn't lame and examined it. There was a tiny model pirate trapped in its left front paw. The dog was pleased when my mother took the pirate out and it jumped up the policeman's tunic with its muddy paws. My mother fetched a cloth from the kitchen, but it had strawberry jam on it where I'd wiped the knife, so the tunic was worse than ever. The policeman went then. I'm sure he swore. I could report him for that. I will look up epiphany in my new dictionary. Wednesday, January the 7th. Nigel came round on his new bike this morning. It's got a water bottle, a mileometer, a speedometer, a yellow saddle and very thin racing wheels. It's wasted on Nigel. He only goes to the shops and back on it. If I had it, I'd go all over the country and have an experience. My spot, or boil, has reached its peak. Surely it can't get any bigger. I found a word in my dictionary that describes my father. It is malingerer. He's still in bed guzzling vitamin C. The dog is locked in the coal shed. Epiphany is something to do with the three wise men. Big deal.
From the diary of Adrian Mole, age 13 and three quarters.
Oh, dear.
Written by Sue Townsend, read by Richard Mangan. Yes.
Who? Stephen Mangan.
Pretending to be Stephen. Stephen Mangan. Yes.
Because I think he also writes, he's an actor.
Oh, we've seen him. Yes, yeah.
Several times. But I think he also writes kids' books.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it did very, very well. So I went to see it in London on stage.
Adrian Mole, yes.
It was flat as a pancake. Flat as a pancake. Boo! Yes, get off the stage.
Oh, dear.
Disappointing. But by then, perhaps I had aged. Yes, I had aged. No more spots. Oh. And I realised, this isn't very good, is it? But the books were hilarious, I thought.
Yeah.
She may have run it too long, as they sometimes... The Brits don't usually do that with their TV series, the way the Americans do.
No, yes, yeah.
You know, that's it. Wrap, wrap, that's a wrap. Yes. Find some other work. Away you go now. No, it's over. Come on.
Yes, but leave them wanting more is what you like to say.
Very true. Yep. Always leave them wanting more. So I'll stop talking then. At 7:28 and say I've had a look at the Winnipeg Public Library. For something to do, well, the Silver Screen Matinee, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid today, 2 to 4 p.m. at the Millennium Library. Of course, it's an open event, so you just walk right in, sit right down. That would be in Carol Shields' little theater spot there, seems to me, as well. Puzzle Social with Manitoba Speed Puzzlers. I didn't know there was such a thing. Join volunteers from Manitoba Speed Puzzlers for a jigsaw puzzle social!
Okay.
We'll supply all you need for speed and casual puzzling, and volunteers will be on hand with tips and tricks on how to speed the thing up.
Wow.
Did you know there were tips and tricks?
Not for jigsaw
you do them
puzzles.
Online.
Like I like to do the... edges first, and then work on the...
Well, there's a tip right there, I suggest.
But I don't know, whatever works for you.
I would avoid puzzles that look confusing. You want things that have big letters on them. Big letter A, that must be A.
I gave my mum a round jigsaw puzzle for Christmas one year. And it looked really... It had the muses on it. It looked really complicated.
Yep.
And she finished it. No time flat. She loved it. But she said, it was not as difficult as it looked.
Well, if that caught your fancy, Puzzle Social with Manitoba Speed Puzzlers. It's today 2 to 4 in the program room of the Westwood Library. But it's an open event, you see. Ah. You can just drop in. Because quite a few things on the website for programs and events happening at the library, you have to register. And for example, here's one. Well, too bad for you. Ah. The Osborne Library Pearl Jam, which is knit, crochet, embroider, or not. A little joke there. The K is in brackets. Yep. Come create with us. Well, you can't because the program is full. Oh. A wait list is available. So it's all very well to look at this, but yes, it pays to look ahead. Because right, you can go at least, I think, a month ahead at least to see yes, what's coming up and sign yes, up. And that way somebody else is left knocking at the door, but not you.
No.
7:30.
Do you have a little list of all that stuff?
It's online. Okay. And actually, yes, I picked up from the Harvey Smith Library. They picked some highlights through
right,
the month
there
to
you
promote
go,
as well. But let's face it, most people today, you should be motivated to go online, I would think. Now, as well, for the children, this being January, at the Cinematheque, the Dave Barber Cinematheque, is the day the 17th?
Today is the 17th.
That settles that then.
Yes.
Tomorrow, Cabin Fever. Free. Children, you have to say, you can't leave them. You have to go in with the children. It's James and the Giant Peach.
Oh.
At 1 o'clock.
I've never seen that.
Because again in January 25th and February the 1st as well. 25th will be animated short films for kids at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
February the 1st will be Sleeping Beauty at 1 o'clock. Cabin oh, Fever. Yes, you said something about cereal, but I don't see it on this. No, all right.
No, yes, it is.
All right, well, yes, where is it?
It's right here, Saturday morning, all you
what?
Can eat.
Saturday morning, all you can eat.
At the bottom there.
Yes, you're right. That's on the 31st, mind you.
Yes.
That's a whole different thing.
Yep.
On the 31st of January,
so plan
Saturday
ahead,
morning, all you can eat cereal cartoon party. The milk will be the scupper's all red, red with other people's blood. The milk will be flowing everywhere. 10 a.m. All right.
Yes.
7:32.
You know the cereal that Calvin used to eat?
Sugar cocoa bombs or something.
Cocoa, sugar-covered cocoa bombs.
I would imagine,
like that,
yes. Yeah. Yikes. Looking at the Free Press then, the obituaries from February the 15th for William Carl Backman. Bill was an original, threw himself in everything he endeavored to do with passion and commitment. This is, of course, from 2025. A very successful career as an English and drama teacher, most notably at Sturgeon Creek. But we'll save that. I'm being waved at.
No. You can go ahead.
Go ahead with that then. All right.
Yes.
Because there's more on his obituary. A big column on this. Early career, he enjoyed coveted overseas assignments. With his wife Enid and young Tony and Leigh, they relocated to Newcastle-on-Tyne and later to Baden-Baden.
Oh.
Baden-Baden, Germany, exactly, where he taught the children of Canadian Air Force personnel.
Oh, okay.
So we'll stop there and say, let's have our march
okay,
around the breakfast table this morning. The Manchester.
Sure.
Thank you.
Manchester. So our march. Bit of Vanished Vinyl for you there. Marches of the Vanishing Regiments. In this case, it was the Manchester Regiment. An arrangement of two Neapolitan song tunes and adopted by the regiment in 1881. Where are they now? 7:35. Carol McKibben, we've got you coming up, don't we? Yes, but before that, I think this might have been another charity shop find. The Mikado, the English National Opera production, highlights from Gilbert and Sullivan's The Mikado. I see this from 1986. It was at the Savoy Theatre in London. And I saw The Mikado. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if it was there, mind you, but I have a memory that Eric Idle was in it. And this, I see,
wow.
Eric Idle is on this recording, you see. So I'm just thinking of things political right now and people we'd like to put the boots to, and why not join Eric Idle in the idea?
As someday it may happen that a victim must be found, I got a little list, I've got a little list of society offenders who might well be underground and who never would be missed. They never would be missed. There's interior designers, window dressers and that sort. Bank robbers who retire to Spain the minute they get caught. All those who have their noses pierced, all men who dye their hair. All idiots who host chat shows and disc jockeys everywhere. And customs men who fumbling through your underwear insist they'd none of them be missed, they'd none of them be missed.
He's got them on the list, he's got them on the list, and they'd none of them be missed, they'd none of them be missed.
There's the people with pretentious names like Justin, Trish and Rolf, and the gynecologist. I've got him on the list. All muggers, joggers, buggers, floggers, people who play golf, they never would be missed, they never would be missed. All waitresses who make you wait, accountants of all kinds, and actresses who kiss and tell and wiggle their behinds, and poncy little singers who to entertain us try by dressing up like women and by singing far too high, and who on close observance must be either stoned or pissed. I don't think they'd be missed, I'm sure they'd not be missed.
He's got them on the list, he's got them on the list, and they're none of them be missed, they're none of them be missed.
There's the beggars who write letters from the Inland Revenue, and the gossip columnist, I've got him on the list. Comedians and weightlifters and opera singers too, they'd none of them be missed, they'd none of them be missed. All traffic wardens, bankers, men who sell Venetian blinds, all people who wear silly ties, Australians of all kinds, and nasty little editors whose papers are the pits, who fill their rags with gossip and with huge and floppy writs. But anyway, I think by now you must have got the gist. They'd none of them be missed. They'd none of them be missed.
You may put them on the list. You may put them on the list. And then none of them be missed. They're none of them be missed.
Thank you, Eric. Eric Idle. From the Mikado Highlights, or the Town of Titipu, the English National Opera. Solos, chorus, and orchestra conducted by Peter Robinson. Uh-huh. I'll repeat that. Peter, well, not that I know of, no. It's funny. Our friend Wayne Ralph sent us a photograph of a table top from the Calgary airport yesterday. And it was a enlargement of, I guess, early airmail.
Right. Like the back of a postcard.
From Edmonton, and it was being sent by someone, C.S. Robinson in Winnipeg.
Wow.
So the 1930s, I think. Alas, I don't know how you'd find.
Yeah.
It's all very well to say the Henderson Directories, but that's not by, it was from a box number.
Well, but he might still be in there.
Well, and some, if not all, I think,
yes,
of the Henderson Directories
because
are now online,
yes,
at the Winnipeg Public Library.
Yes.
Yes. Jumble? Yes, is that a jumble I see before me?
Okay, this is not a word you use every day.
Every day, Everydaywy. Find out what it means to me.
Okay, I will find out right away. Clum.
mulch.
Yeah.
We're back at the farm, are we? Or no, gardening. We're gardening.
Gardening.
And that's the time of the year? What are
yes.
we, snow
well,
gardening?
It's a little early for us.
Didn't you once see snow fleas? Did
we
you
both
make that up?
Did.
Was I with you there?
Yes.
That was me.
We were at
I wondered.
At the, we call it the farm.
Yes.
And we're walking along in the snow, and you could see them jumping like anything in the
in
snow.
In the snow. The trouble is, nobody, they all refuse to believe us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We've told people, and they're like, no, there's no such thing.
As if we'd been drinking. Certainly
I said,
not.
Look it up.
You could, did you? Yes.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I looked it up before
exactly.
I asked them to look
exactly.
it up.
Exactly. Right. 7:40.
Yep.
I'm Guy Gavioque, author of Written on the Dark, and you're listening to CKUW-FM 95.9.
In Winnipeg.
Yes, you got a letter from my cousin Scott.
Oh, yes.
About
he enjoyed the last novel.
Guy Gavioque.
We gave him a copy.
Yep.
Enjoyed and wanted to know about selling his books.
Yes.
Trying across the country. A tough yes. sell when you're doing it, and because the antiquarian booksellers want to see them mm-hmm. and talk about condition. Edition, yeah. et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yes.
Yeah. He noticed as he was looking them up that Bison Books Winnipeg came up quite a bit.
So he asked me, and I gave him my yep. opinions on, yes,
yep.
I think worth a visit, yes. Born on this day in 1927. I won't say it was Miss Petulant. She was a big Broadway star in the early 1950s.
Okay.
You know, when they were looking at brand new on Broadway sort of thing.
Okay.
Died in 2008 and could take any song and make it her own.
Ah.
Everyone gets into a dull routine if they don't get a chance to change the scene. I could not be wearier, life could not be drearier if I lived in Siberia. Amusing fool, while on my way to Istanbul, he bought me the Black Sea for my swimming pool. Monotonous for 30 days, salt air I sniffed while I was shipwrecked and cast adrift with a man who looked like Montgomery Clift. Monotonous for it's worth throughout the earth. I'm known as Femme Fatale. But when the yawn comes up like thunder, brother, take back your Taj Mahal. Jack Fath made a new style for me. I even made Johnny Ray smile for me. A camel once walked a mile for me. Monotonous. I could not be wearier, life could not be drearier if I lived in Siberia. Traffic has been known to stop for me, prices even rise and drop for me. Harry S. Truman plays bop for me. Monotonous. Monotonous. T.S. Eliot writes books for me. King Farouk's on tender hooks for me. Sherman Billingsley even cooks for me. Monotonous. Monotonous. I could not be wearier. Life could not be drearier if I lived in Siberia. Although I know I've acres of dough, I'm not sure of the amount. It might be exciting someday if I learn to count. Chiang Kai-shek sends me pots of tea. Gaylord Houser sends me vitamin D. And furthermore, Ike likes me. Monotonous. Monotonous. Monotonous.
That's monotonous, not monogamous. From Eartha Kitt, Miss Kitt to you. And the song Monotonous from New Faces of 1952 at 7:45. Carol McKibben,
yes?
What do you have for the folks today?
Well, when I was a kid, I opened the drawer in my granny's kitchen table, and there was a box of small blank cards, a small box, small blank cards, and I wondered what on earth they were. My mom said they were calling cards. Calling cards or visiting cards. Probably. How long ago do you think they started, Ron?
Victorian?
We're looking at China in the 16th century.
Oh. Yeah. Probably big, very, very big cards then.
Well,
you know, if you've ever seen the Chinese.
It's hard to say.
No.
They were small decorative cards that were carried by individuals to present themselves to others. It was a common practice in the 18th and 19th centuries, particularly among the upper classes, to leave a visiting card when calling on someone.
There is a plate at the front door of Dalneverda. People used
yes.
to come in and leave their card.
And leave their card.
That's quite
sure.
right. Quite right.
Yep, there
yes.
you go. Before the 18th century, visitors making social calls left handwritten notes at the home of friends who were not at home. By the 1760s, the upper classes in France and Italy were leaving printed visiting cards decorated with images on one side and a blank space for handwriting a note on the other. The style quickly spread across Europe. As printing technology improved, elaborate color designs became popular. By the late 1800s, simpler styles became more common. By the 19th century, men and women needed personalized visiting cards to maintain their social status. They were about the size of today's business card, usually featured the name of the owner and sometimes an address. Calling cards were left at homes, sent to individuals, or exchanged for various social purposes. Knowing and following calling card rules signaled your status and intentions. Yes?
Okay.
Visiting cards became an indispensable tool of etiquette with sophisticated rules. The essential convention was that A person would not expect to see B person in B's own home unless invited or introduced without having first left his calling card at B's home. On leaving the card, A would not expect to be admitted initially, but might receive a card at her or his own home in response from B. This would serve as a signal that a personal visit and meeting at home would be welcome. On the other hand, Ron, if no card was forthcoming, or if a card was sent back in an envelope,
yikes,
a personal visit was discouraged. In France, they were called une carte d'adresse from 1615 to 1800, and thereafter carte de visite. Photographic carte de visite were not generally used as calling cards. They didn't have the owner's name printed on them, for example, since they were usually given to family and friends. I guess you don't need your name on it if it's got a picture that identifies. Yes. The whole procedure depended on there being servants to open the door and receive the cards, so it was confined to social classes which employed.
It's so hard
servants.
To get good help these days, yes. I will say.
If a card was left with that turned corner,
yes.
it indicated that the card had been left in person than by a servant.
I've had a few cards handed to me that way.
I see. Quote, next day, Paul found Stubbs' card on his table. The coroner turned up. Paul went to Hertford to call on Stubbs, but found him out. He left his card. The coroner turned up.
So you need a lot of cards because you're going to go back and forth and back.
Yeah. So that's from Evelyn Waugh, Decline and Fall from Resurrection. Some visiting cards had refined engravement ornaments, embossed lettering, coats of arms. The standard form of visiting card in the 19th century in the UK was a plain card with nothing more than the bearer's name on it. Sometimes the name of a gentleman's club would be added, but you wouldn't include an address. There were highly decorated card cases for visiting cards. You'd be surprised to hear this, Ron, but the visiting card is no longer the universal feature of upper middle class and upper class life that it once was. Yeah. Much more common, of course, now is the business card, in which contact details, including an address and phone number, are essential. Debrett's new etiquette in 2007 endorsed the inclusion of private and club addresses, but states the inclusion of a telephone or fax number would be a blunder. According to Debrett's handbook in 2016, a gentleman's card would traditionally give his title, rank, private or service address, and club, in addition to his name. It starts getting complicated here when coming to dukes, courtesy titles, honorable, ecclesiastical titles, military ranks, professor, doctor, mister, Mrs.,
we've got the idea.
Archbishops,
hello.
Bishops,
hello.
Deans.
You can stop now.
Okay.
You were ready to keep going, weren't you?
Well, yeah, I could have.
Good Lord.
Yes.
Many, many then.
Yes. And
yes,
they came in different sizes, depending on if you were a single man, a married man, a single woman, a married woman, a widow.
Boy.
A married
you'd
couple.
You'd have to know what you'd this have, meant.
Yes.
By looking at them. It's like semaphore.
Yes.
Interesting.
Exactly.
Yep. Well, of course, you'd want to know.
Yes.
Anything else?
If they were ready to receive you with tea and cake.
Good idea.
Yes.
Come in. Well, 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 look who's here. I haven't seen you in many a year. If I knew you were coming, I'd bake a cake, bake a cake, bake a cake. If I knew you were coming, I'd bake a cake. Hut-you-do, hut-you-do, hut-you-do. Had you dropped me a letter, I'd have hired a band, grandest band in the land. Had you dropped me a letter, I'd have hired a band and spread the welcome mat for you. Oh, I don't know where you came from, 'cause I don't know where you've been, but it really doesn't matter. Grab a chair and fill your platter and dig, dig, dig right in. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked the cake, hired a band, goodness sake. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked the cake. Hut-you-do, hut-you-do, hut-you-do. Chair and fill your platter and dig, dig, dig right in. If I knew you were coming.
cake. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake. How'd you do? 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 How'd you do?
Eileen Barton from the 1950s. That was number one for 10 weeks, you know.
Wow.
Say, we just got enough time to say, too bad you missed last night, Delaware Museum, an evening of Sherlock Holmes, but never mind, they're doing it again. Sarah Watkins, the executive director, tells me she will be reading The Speckled Band Friday, January 23rd, 6:30 p.m. Tickets are $50 plus fees.
Is this in the parlor?
Well, I was going to say, quite possibly.
For $50.
You get a mocktail or a cocktail as well.
I see.
Include a Holmes-inspired signature cocktail or mocktail during intermission. Elementary, My Dear Watson, a little write-up in the Winnipeg Free Press. You could, yes, go to their, I usually go to their calendar for Dalinivert. And also I see WFP here, the Winnipeg Free Press. WFP.to/IN. Capital I, looks to me a little weird, but all right. Maybe the Delaware calendar is the answer. Carol McKibben,
yes.
What about the weather?
Well, it's still minus 24, drifting snow, all that sort of thing. But I did want to mention, because there's a warning out from tomorrow at 6 in the morning until 6 in the evening tomorrow. Another round of snow, strong winds, and blowing snow will produce very poor travel conditions on Sunday across the entire Red River Valley. But for us today, mix of sun and cloud, 30% chance of flurries early this morning, wind coming from the northwest at 40, gusting to 60, and then west at 20 around noon. And high today of minus 18.
I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol.
We'll be back next Saturday morning, 6 till 8. Hope you will be as well here on CKWFM 95.9 on your FM dial. Stay tuned now for who knows what. Could be Green Planet Monitor.
We don't.
Could be
something. We
never know.
Exactly.
Never know. It'll be a mystery.
We
so right now,
idea.
Let's go back to the 80s. Oh, this is not one of those Nightlines flashbacks, is it? Well, yes and no. Paul Young's birthday today, the singer. Born 1956, pop, rock, certainly blue-eyed soul. And here, but Valentine's Day on the horizon, something to think about then as well, yes. Since, from his singles, from time to time.
Since you've been gone, I shut my eyes and I fantasize that you're here with me. Ever return, I won't be satisfied till you're by my side. Don't wait any longer. Come back.
Why don't you come back? Please hurry. Why don't you come back? Please hurry.
Come back and stay for good this time.
Did you ever
come back and stay? Trying to hide what I felt inside till you passed me by. You said you'd return. You said that you'd be mine till the end of time. But I'm waiting any longer. Why don't you come back?
Please hurry. Why don't you come back? Please hurry.